Okay, next we have fee glasses. Next we have glasses on. Fee petitions and guardianship cases, and this is presented by John B. Henry III, and he is the managing attorney of the law office of John B. Henry III, PLLC, which has offices in Belmont, Texas, and Rockwall, Texas. His practice focuses on elder law, special needs trust, guardianship, probate, and estate administration and estate planning. Please read the biographies of these people. They're amazing.
It's called Friday afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the hand claps. So I have the task of fee petitions, and that's because I practiced, I think, and I just asked Catherine from my office, about 26 or 27 counties in Texas, and have had guardianships in most of them. And I've also done a survey of existing local rules that are available and how courts treat fee petitions. So as we go through these different topics, I'm going to give you the advice I've heard from many court staff, auditors, and judges over best practices in submitting fee petitions to their court. So we'll talk about the attorney-client relationship. I always think about things a little bit differently. In terms of not just going through the rules, but I think about the things that cause those pressure points when we're submitting fee petitions to the court, the things that often are heavily under review. And I think some of those things can be found in just the attorney-client relationship. We'll talk about the enabling authority of attorney's fees, in the estate's code, the duty of preparation of the fee petition, some tips about the forms of submitting it, timing, and a tip for attorney's fees and costs. So my goal is to provide you with an idea of how you develop the fee petition, and that begins, like I said, from the very beginning about how you engage with your client. And I'm going to give you some of the tips that I found helpful in my practice in sort of engaging with a client in a way that helps avoid some of the my guardian client disappeared. Okay, I didn't hear a hand clap on that one. I know I'm not the only one who has a client that falls unresponsive, that's a guardianship client. That just happens, right? And then you're having, at the end of that invoice time, to submit it to the court and have to justify why you should be paid for the 10 phone calls you made about them getting their accounting in, right? That's unenviable. And so there's some things that I'm going to suggest to you that are solutions for that. I'm going to give you insights about, like I said, things that impact the fee decisions and different treatment of different issues among the courts. And y'all, this is Euphigenia Doubtfire, dear, right? As some of us kind of feel like that in the midst of a guardianship. We have to put on a different face because we have to present fees to the court. We have to justify potentially every line item. And there's not really a reason to feel any different than you do in the beginning. And we'll go through why that is. So the attorney-client relationship. I think this is a very important and often overlooked point that can lead some, both as applicants applying for attorney's fees, as attorneys at litem, we have to remember our scope, right? I've been in so many hearings in many different courts, and it's just because people forget the scope of their representation, right? There's the ethical rules that talk about zealously advocating for the client, their interests, but we have to remember also in terms of representing the guardian client, they have certain duties under the code contained in 1151.051C and 1151.101. And it's not uncommon for an attorney to just want to help their client who may be having difficulty, right? You may spend hours helping them with various things that the court will come back and say, why did you do it? Right? And it's because we had that instance, especially in the elder law bar, of wanting to help people. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we do have to remember and set expectations in the beginning about who does what. Right, because when it comes time for the fee petition defense that you have to speak to the court auditor, the question is going to be, well, what was the trigger that required the attorney to be involved? Right? If the client had to go get the records, if the client had to put them together, if the client had to marshal assets, Why were you involved to that extent? So keeping that in mind, in my practice, I have an initial new guardian meeting that I spend about 30 minutes to an hour with every client. I do it every single time. I have a packet of information I give them. I give them deadlines. I have an initial letter. And so in that, I talk about the scope of the representation, right? I talk about their duties.